We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Mr. Tom Ivester. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Good. Doing good.
We always appreciate when you come. You always bring good stuff. It's Fun Friday with Tom, y'all. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Barbara Dyson Ford, located here in Elk City. If you're in the market for a newer used vehicle, I want to encourage you to contact them. They can find you what you're looking for, even if it's a red Dodge or a Chrysler minivan. They can find it and get it for you. If you would like to enter for the book giveaway for this month, for the month of February, the book is A City on Our Knees by Toby Mack. All you have to do is like, share, and comment "done" in the comments, even if it's at a later date or a later time. We do get notifications when you comment, so I want to encourage you to comment. Like, share, comment. I think I covered it all this morning. Would you please pray to start us out?
I will. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the splendor of the whole creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessing of family and friends and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. We thank you for setting us at tasks which demand our best efforts and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us. We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge and our dependence on you alone. Above all, we thank you, Christ, for the truth of his word and the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience by which he overcame temptation, for his dying through which he overcame death, and for his rising to life again, in which we are raised to the life of your kingdom. Grant us the gift of your Spirit that we may know Christ and make him known, and through him at all times and in all places may give thanks to you in all things. Amen. Okay. I'm going to start off with a song. This is kind of turned into my signature song here. Kind of like a prayer in and of itself. Here we go.
I need somebody, help. Not just anybody, help. You know I need someone, help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, days I'm gone. Not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind and open up the doors.
Back on the ground, won't you please, please
so self-assured.
Now I find
out I have changed my mind. I'll open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me? Help me, help me.
Ooh. Okay, that was from a little band from England. So, again, my, I guess, disclaimers, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a long-time Sunday school teacher. So, I used to, like, try to do lessons and things, but I've stopped. I just read from the Bible. So, I'm going to read from Ecclesiastes. So, this is comes after Job in the order of things. Comes after Job, comes after the Psalms, comes after Proverbs. And it's like, to me, it was like a brick upside the head. So you get all this great praise. You get this story through Job. You get the great praise in the Psalms. And then you get the Proverbs. You get all the wisdom. And then you get slammed in the side of the head and saying, it's really all kind of pointless. Doesn't really mean anything. So, and I've been through several Sunday school lessons over it and have been only halfway satisfied with their interpretations of what all this means. So, so I'll just read directly from it. So this is Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever turning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome. More than one can say, the eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. If there is anything of which one can say, look, this is something new, it was here already long ago, it was here before our time. There is no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. The teacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under heaven. What a heavy burden God has laid on men. I've seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. So, good times. Okay. I am going to play another song here because if you get too much into that, you're like, okay. Let's see. And this is, you know, that's David speaking, by the way, the same one who wrote most of the Psalms. Okay, I like this song. It's an old song from the 60s. It really doesn't have anything to do with anything, so don't try to interpret anything. I just like it. So it's called Before You Accuse Me. There's been a lot of covers on it, so I just like it. Here we go.
Someone else. I call your mama. I'll pay for.
Okay, that was Before You Accuse Me, and that was Creedence Clearwater Revival singing that cover of it. I want to correct one thing. It wasn't David on Ecclesiastes. It was one of his sons is credited with being the teacher in Ecclesiastes. Okay, so I'm going to start again chapter 1 and then chapter 2, and I'm going to go with verse 12. Then I turned my thoughts to consider wisdom and also madness and folly. What more can the king's successor do than what has already been done? I saw that wisdom is better than folly, just as light better than darkness. The wise man has eyes in his head, while the fool walks in darkness. But I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both. Then I thought in my heart, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise? I said in my heart, this too is meaningless. For the wise man, like the fool, will not be long remembered. In days to come, both will be forgotten. Like the fool, the wise man must too die. So I hated life, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the work into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a man may do his work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then he must leave all he owns to someone who has not worked for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving with which he labors under the sun? All his days his work is pain and grief. Even at night his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Okay. This next song I am going to play is Emmylou Harris. And she's a well-known country singer. And I like this song. It's called I'm Moving On. And I did pick this one because I think it kind of fits with, hey, it's all meaningless, I'm moving on. So nothing deeper than that, though. So don't look too much into meaning in some of these songs. A lot of them I just pick because I like the way they sound. Okay? So here we go. I'm Moving On by Emmylou Harris.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cowboys and Indians, please welcome Miss Emmylou Harris and the Hot Band.
Yeah.
Okay, that was a song called I'm Moving On by Emmylou Harris. So I want to say a prayer and then read another scripture and play another song. Okay. We give thanks to you, O Lord our God, for all your servants and witnesses of times past, for Abraham, the father of believers, and Sarah, his wife, for Moses, the lawgiver, and Aaron, the priest, for Miriam and Joshua, Deborah and Gideon, and Samuel with Hannah, his mother, for Isaiah and all the prophets, for Mary, the mother of our Lord, for Peter and Paul and all the apostles, for Mary and Martha and Mary Magdalene, for Stephen, the first martyr, and all the martyrs and saints in every age and in every land. In your mercy, O Lord our God, give us, as you gave to them, the hope of salvation and the promise of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of many from the dead. Amen. Okay. Now, this is one of the more well-known passages from Ecclesiastes. And there is a song to go along with it. Let me find the song here real quick so I can... finger in this thing.
I hate when that happens. That aggravates me sometimes. I've learned to go back and reread my text before I send it.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and read the scripture and then we'll play the song. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden of God, the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing will be taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. Whoever is has already been, and what will be has already been before. And God will call the past to account. Okay. Now this song by the Byrds, it was made very popular during the 60s and actually became a kind of a signature song of the Vietnam War, but is almost word for word the passage we just read. So here we go.
Stones together to everything.
group called The Birds, and their song called Turn, Turn, Turn. So, I'm going to go right into Ecclesiastes chapter 5, skipping ahead a little bit. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know what they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. As a dream comes when there are many cares, so the speech of a fool when there are many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger. My vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, stand in awe of God. If you see the poor oppressed in a district and justice and rights denied, do not be surprised at such things, for one official is eyed by a higher one, and over them both are the other higher still. The increase from the land is taken by all. The king himself profits from the fields. Whoever loves money never has money enough, and whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This, too, is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owner, except to feast his eyes on them? The sleep of the laborer is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of a rich man permits him no sleep. I've seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owner, or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when he has a son, there is nothing left for him. Naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. This, too, is a grievous evil. As a man comes, so he departs. And what does he gain, since he toils for the wind? All his days he eats in darkness, with great frustration, affliction, and anger. Then I realize that it is good and proper for a man to eat and drink and to find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given him. For this is his lot. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. He seldom reflects on the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart. Okay. We've got to take a break, right?